This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
If you just go back to 20-year-old, 18-year-old JP, right now, you could be Pope Leo.
Yeah, there's an alternate world where maybe, just maybe, I'm on the right trajectory to become Pope Leo. I had a next door neighbor growing up, and she was very into who do you know in the Catholic Church world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she used to always have like different higher up people at her house over for dinner, like all the time.
That's a game right there.
She'd have cardinals. She'd have all sorts of people, and like when important people in the church would come
chess
in town.
With them?
No, she would just host them.
When
they'd come in town, they'd all meet at this house. And so I'm convinced now that she had to have had dinner. And so now I'm just thinking the entire time, like, the Pope probably had dinner in the house next door to the house that I grew up in.
So this is like, I've always felt this way. Like, if you follow somebody's career tree and career trajectory.
Yeah, she was like, following Pope Leo's trajectory.
If you just make the, like, Andy Roth not the PD in 2014, 2015,
yeah,
I don't get nights, right?
And sure.
And then, like, the butterfly effect, I'm probably a meth addict on the street these days. Like, it was radio host, the successful radio host, or I'm selling this body on Main Street, okay? Those are my two options.
You do get propositioned for your body often on Main Street.
Very often. I'm easy on the eyes. Not really. But I wonder if we could go back and we just go back and be like, hey, that Robert guy, don't do it.
Don't do it?
I'm just saying, like, if the butterfly effect, if that woman could have been the linchpin in history,
no, she was
helped Pope Leo become Pope Leo.
She was such a supporter. She's the one. So I was an altar boy in 7th and 8th grade. Part of the reason why I was an altar boy is because you got to miss the first period of class. I was like, that's great.
We are playing with fire already on the show.
No, we're fine. So anyway, she was the one that in, like, 7th or 8th grade was like, you're going to become a priest.
Mm.
Like she told, she's like, you're going to become a priest. Didn't tell any of my other siblings that, but she's like, I see it with you. Like, you have... You're going to be a priest. And there
were
was
you
like
ever left alone with her?
No, she was a sweet old lady.
Oh,
she was just a sweet old lady. There was nothing.
Sounds like a bit of glaze to me, friend, but what do I know?
Why are you rewriting my sweet next door neighbor? The next door neighbor my whole life.
Was she single?
She was at that point maybe like 75 or 80.
Was she single?
Yeah, she was single at that point.
And we're talking peak prime Peterlin. All right, we're talking
7th, 8th grade is peak prime me.
For some folks.
Why are you hooking up 7th grade me with my 75-year-old neighbor?
I'm just saying she sounds a little thirsty.
No.
I'm just protecting you historically.
She was like, you're going to be a priest. And there was a moment in time where I'm like, geez, am I going to become a priest? It's because she told me. She's like, you're going to be a priest. I'm like, what powers does she have?
216-474-0092.
Obviously, we did not become a priest.
Would Peterlin have made a good priest?
What do you think? Knowing me, Mac, you can get involved in this as well.
I'm throw him back first.
May the power of Christ compel you. As I do the sign. What kind of priest would I have been?
I think you would have been an alright priest.
Alright?
Yeah, you would have done a solid job.
You would have been a middle-of-the-road priest. Probably
power
never
Christ,
a cardinal,
power
though.
Christ would have compelled
I could
you.
Have done a bang-up job.
Alright, Jake, we're just going to do it now. You open the gates. I can't close them until we've all weighed
in
here.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Right, and then we go into basically like a modern day analogy that we're using. And boom, bang! I'm out in time for kickoff of the Browns game. You'd love me. Quick in and out, 30-35 minutes.
Can you just
tighten this thing up a little bit? Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
I got this on. I got this down.
Why are you singing it like a ghost?
That's how you have to do it. You can't just sing it normal. I'm not going to sing it like I'm Clapton.
As somebody that went to Catholic school for 13 years, yeah, I can agree.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah, that was pretty accurate.
Send me on Kairos with that type of singing.
He didn't qualify. He didn't qualify. He didn't qualify to be Pope.
I think
that tells you how good of a priest Nick would have been.
They would have met me at the grounds of the school with garlic and crosses.
He's cool guy priest.
Hey guys, let's get hip here, okay?
I don't serve you the body of Christ. We eat pizza instead.
Jake, would Jake B have made a good priest?
I mean, after that singing, how can I say no?
Right? Right?
I give you immense credit. You've broken me 8 minutes into the show. Thank you. I wanted this. I needed this. And now you give me a DeLorean and I can use it for 1 hour's time. I got to go zip in and out. One, I'm going to rescue you from that neighbor. Two, I'm going to make sure that Peter Lynn, it goes on a mission to become Pope. Because I believe you could have been Pope Leo.
See, that's the type of support I was looking for, Mac. 17. That's it right there. Yeah, I'd obviously take Pope Leo because he would have been my guiding
that's
force
just
here.
Cool. Like,
it's a cool name.
A girl I knew in high school, her and her husband, I see the pictures of their kids on social media all the time. She named her son Leo, and I'm like, you just made that kid cool. Have you ever met a Leo that was in any way not cool? Never.
DiCaprio did wonders for that name, did he not?
I would say Da Vinci did a little of the carrying on that one as well. I don't know a lot of other Leos, but I'm just saying. And that kid is like, that kid's got the riz, as they say. Every time I see a picture, I'm like, man, that kid's cool. He's like three, but that kid's got it.
Is it weird?
He's going places.
Is it weird knowing that the Pope is a Cubs and a Bears fan?
I mean, he's been tested.
He's definitely been
tested. His faith has been tested. Like, that's a guy who believes.
Somebody tweeted out the Bears got a Pope before a 4,000-yard passer.
I think it was Annie Agar. Agar?
That
was her.
Yeah. That was funny. It was good.
216-474-0092. Thoughts on the new Pope and whether Peterlin would have made a good Pope. Do we feel better? There's just no segue here. I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Do we feel better or worse with the Celtics being down 0-2 just as the Cavaliers are down 0-2?
Yeah, it's making me feel worse because, you know, when we entered this postseason, it was almost as if the Celtics were some sort of, I don't know, I'm not going to call them a team of destiny, but they seemed like the team that was going to run it back and potentially building a dynasty. And now there is definite flaws within Boston's setup.
So it's interesting. I don't really feel better or worse. Like, I guess I'm not that down in the dumps about the Cavs because I want to see this series play out. I hate to be the guy that's like, small sample size, but small sample size. So it's tough for me to then tap dance on the Celtics' grave, but I kind of have enjoyed watching the Celtics blow consecutive leads the way they have.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were to ask me, what do I think is still going to happen? I looked it up online yesterday. The parlay attached to it is about plus 500. I still think the Celtics win the East. I still think the Cavs end up advancing to... All right, I need to put this a better way. The Celtics win their round against the Knicks. I still think the Cavs win their round against the Pacers. And I think the status quo, we enter with what we thought was going to happen for the previous 4 or 5 months. But the fact that both teams seem susceptible to the loss, and more importantly, Boston seems like they're going to let the Knicks bully them around. Like, yeah, that should give you hope. Because if the Cavs can advance, it might be Cavs-Knicks, and you got that series for sure.
Shortly after the Celtics got trounced last night in the fourth quarter, I think it was Keith put out this Twitter poll. With the Cavs and Celtics both trailing 2-0, which Eastern Conference Finals matchup is most likely? Right now, about 1,300 votes in, 33% of saying Knicks-Pacers. What's wild is 29% of people are saying Cavs-Celtics. So this is an all-or-nothing proposition. Hmm. Either the teams that are up 2-0 are going to go ahead and keep the series, and we're going to get that matchup, according to folks, or Cavs and Celtics is just fait accompli, and it's only a matter of time.
I mean, watch these Boston games, though. Watch the first two games. First off, they're not shooting anything from the outside. I would imagine that gets turned around and their perimeter game gets better. Tatum's been an absolute no-show in the fourth quarter. He's been absolute garbage in the fourth. I don't think that's staying for the whole entire series. I bet the Celtics still end up winning this thing, their series, that is. And I haven't strayed off the Cavs at all, so I still see it Cavs-Celtics.
If this did play out, that the Cavs and Celtics both lose in the second round, This is going to feel a lot like last year, as you saw the dominoes fall and the injuries around the Eastern Conference, including the Cavs. There was an element of like the path is right there. The Celtics hadn't won a championship yet. You look at the other teams advancing deep into the playoffs. It was like it felt like the ball was up in the air and the Cavs just were not. They were just incapable of grabbing it, right? And it made me even more frustrated that we ran another year back with J.B. Bickerstaff when I think we all knew he was cooked. I knew he was cooked a year previously. This would feel more like that. Like, this would feel like, wait, so you don't have to go through the Celtics to win an NBA championship?
Right, and it would have been all in front of you, and then you would feel like the NBA Finals are basically gifted to you, and then you weren't able to take advantage. But if the Celtics and the Cavs both don't advance, is this the least reflective of what a regular season was for a Eastern Conference Finals matchup you can remember?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, like, tell us the regular season matters less and less with this outcome. Like, it's not even like the Knickers... We were firing Tom Thibodeau a month ago. Legitimately, we're like, Tibbs isn't going to make it through the end of the postseason, but he might not make it to the postseason. That's how dead and buried the Knicks were.
I mean, if the Knicks collapse here, he's still getting fired. That's what's wild about this series.
Think about that.
Knicks go from up to nothing, if the Celtics just sweep the next four games,
he's got as much of a chance of winning their first NBA title in 50 years as he does being fired a month from now.
So what's wild about all this is, this is actually good. As much as frustrating as this is as a Cavs fan, if this is a moment that you could have a much clearer chance to go ahead and win a championship and then you fumble your own bag, as frustrating as this is, it's great for the NBA.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
Adam Silver is
this chaos.
Like, as much as the fait accompli of Cavs Celtics would be phenomenal, and I actually do think it would be intriguing in its own right, the fact that both of your top seeds are behind the eight ball here, and it actually, so it's not a two-horse race, it dispels that. I think that does.
Although it won't help the regular season moving forward, though, for a little stretch here. Like, think about it, the playoffs will always be great, and the playoffs are going to have awesome ratings. But again, if the regular season matters this little come postseason time, then it's just, we're going to have that two-sport narrative continue on.
I don't know that it's that the regular season doesn't matter in this case. I think it was, but I understand what you're saying. I actually do understand what you're saying, but I wouldn't look at this as like, oh, another, you know, stone on top of the regular season doesn't matter. It's just, it proves to you that maybe how you come into the playoffs, like with the Pacers, they were one of the four hottest teams in the NBA in the final 6 to 8 weeks of the season. I think it might be more of a feather in the cap for that for me.
I mean, we didn't discuss the Pacers in any sort of big Eastern Conference light the way that now they're being portrayed.
Still won't, by the way. Cavs and the Knicks, six.
Yeah, and the Knicks were dead and buried, and now all of a sudden it's a real, real chance that those two teams are in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's not going to happen. I think Boston's going to get themselves righted. I think the Cavs will get healthier, and then we'll end up getting the Eastern Conference Finals we dreamed of, which, by the way, would be a great thing that now we've seen Boston struggle, because even with the injuries, you don't feel like that series is dead and gone, too.
216-474-0092. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, Cavs and NBA reporter at 3:20. Jason Lloyd at 4:20 of The Athletic. A lot of Cavaliers talk on the way as well. The lead at 5, too high, too low, just right. Coming up at 6 with Jake Murren. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Does the Celtics being down 0-2 make the Cavs series hurt more? And the report came out. Did it change anything for you? That's coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. Shouldn't there be a third, like, probable? Ooh, probable.
I think probable is a thing.
I would be much happier if they were probable.
Okay.
You think they're probable, but maybe they're calling them questionable just to keep the Pacers on the fence a little bit here?
Keep hearing it's like a true game time decision, which makes me wonder if it's a true game time decision, then that means that they'd have to be closer than not.
All right, Mac, our research analyst Mac is hopping in here. What do you got?
I was going to ask, if they're probable, wouldn't you rather just have him just say that they're going to play?
No. No, because I want that kernel of doubt. Right now, with questionable, I have many kernels of doubt.
In the gambling world, if you see probable, that's you're playing.
Okay. All right. Maybe gamesmanship is here in the questionable thing, but I just would like to feel... I don't feel a lot of agita about the rest of the series here. Not knowing whether you're going to play in Game 3 is giving me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, it's too impossible to know right now. And I think that's the part that I think a lot of fans are. But when you see questionable on the report, I think this is why so many people have a problem with what's going on with Darius Garland right now, is they keep seeing questionable on the report. And so we think to ourselves, well, if it's questionable and it's going to be a game time decision, that implies that they are doing things and they are capable of being out there and, you know, walking and being able to run and do basketball activities. And then it just kind of feels like you're not trying hard enough. I think that's where a lot of fans get mad.
So that is the latest on the Cavs' health going into game three as we are have another chill day here. We're just relaxing a little bit. Less vitriol today, unless, of course, you were upset by the NBA's last two-minute report of the last 2 minutes of the Cavs-Pacers game, where they said there were three incorrect no calls, two lane violations on Indiana, free throws that resulted in offensive rebounds, and an uncalled for defensive 3 seconds on Donovan Mitchell. This is not why they lost, guys. There were seven other things that led to this loss that the Cavs controlled. That outweighs two bad non-violation calls, right? Can we just...
Sure. Yeah. I'm really happy that people seem to be taking the two-minute report in stride. Like understanding that concept right there, that it was... You can't blame the two-minute report. But it also is a dumb thing that the NBA does. Like, I get why the NBA should have a two-minute report. I don't know why they put it out there for all of us to see.
Isn't it for gambling? Isn't it for the purpose of trying to...
It's for transparency is the idea. And you could tie that to gambling if you wanted to. There's not a single gambler that's going to feel better about knowing the result and that they were actually right, but then their bet didn't cash. If anything, that's almost like a twist of the knife.
Can I tell you, I don't love that NBA rules folks or NBA statisticians can take a point away or add a point after a game's been decided. I don't love that. Like, they do
the
this
stat
in baseball.
Corrections. Yeah, they do a lot of stat corrections all the time.
Don't love that if we can't do referee corrections. How pissed would people in Indiana be like, we're going to take 2 points?
What happened if they take away 1 point and then it's a tie game? Do we have to play the game
all? Restart it.
Do you just start the game in overtime?
Nope. No, you restart it with how many moments there were on the clock when that foul occurred. Think about it. Okay. So one of the lane violations takes away the Neesmith dunk, right?
Yeah.
All right. Bam. Cavs win. If you really want to have the last 2 minutes...
Imagine it going the other direction. Imagine that you're winning the game, and then you're just waiting on the NBA to make sure that the stat corrections are all on the up and up.
You just assume that it is a... You just assume
it's chaos.
Yeah, it would be.
People would riot over this.
Yep. And I'm here for
it. And you're here for it.
In the name of truth and honesty, if the last two-minute report is going to mean something, the NBA should reverse the game two result, restore a Cavs win... As ordained by the good Lord and the Chicago Pope, young Pope as we call him, and do the right thing.
I did notice that they've said
Why they lost.
He's a Bulls fan and he's a Cubs fan. They didn't say anything about the Bulls at all.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's a chance. Maybe he's a Cavs fan. Who knows? We'll find that out. I guess.
Man, that'd be a great use of papal power right now.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Cavs win one. I've ordained it. My first act as young Pope.
Is that your CBS sitcom, Young Pope?
Yeah, I think it really is. But you have to. 69 is not that young, right?
In Pope years, it's pretty young.
In Pope years, it's young, but we got to give like a 20-year-old.
That's
Pope.
A lifetime job being Pope.
Ah, man, you give like a 20-year-old Pope.
It's like Supreme Court Justice. You're just signed up now.
Well, not entirely. We've had some popes just be like, "I'm out."
Yeah, it's not in the spirit of being Pope, though.
Yeah. Oh.
It's very frowned upon.
What about the Holy Spirit?
Easy there.
What does that drop in?
All right. Research analyst, get back to your lab.
A little too much Kairos that just happened there.
So this is not why. Now I actually think I think what's funny is that usually if something like this comes out in most games, you will get a specific amount of fans that go, "All right, I got to let the team off the hook a little bit." The only downside of people not flocking to it's the ref's fault. The only real downside is people are still full-blown raging at the Cavs for losing game two.
So that I think that's a great point because it does feel like... So game one, we gave the Cavs the benefit of the doubt and we went with Atkinson and people railed, not necessarily myself, but a lot of fans railed. You definitely did. Railed at the refs, right?
Thank you for completing that sentence.
And we were always going to, but you went really hard at the refs. and you made it known that you weren't pleased. And I think a lot of fans went with that. I think a lot of fans went with that idea that game one was dictated by the officials. And I think game two, if you're going to try to spin that into being dictated by the officials, then there's not a basketball game we can watch where we're ever going to hold the Cavs responsible. And so I think that the fan base was right there in understanding this was not the game to go after the refs.
I'll actually give Ken credit for the way he said it. It's not that it's lopsided. It's not that it's one-sided. It's just inconsistent. And I do, like, I think we probably should have more grace.
I mean, Donovan went to the free throw line 21 times.
I mean, well, but I just think, like, I don't think people realize how hard it is to be an NFL official or an NBA official. These games are played at a different pace now. And the rule book is three times as thick as it was when the game was half the speed 30 years ago.
So the NFL at least has gone through and they've gotten a lot of officials from the college ranks, and they've gotten a lot of officials. Like, they've done the process of it all.
And it just hasn't been any better, though.
Which is fine, but they've at least done better than what the NBA is. Where the NBA for years, you ever seen, there's an astonishingly large number of NBA refs that are from within like a 30-minute radius of each other, because it's just they all hired. There was a time that the NBA just hired a bunch of refs and the refs' friends, essentially. There are people that ref in the NBA that did not ref in high school, that did not ref in college, that have no level of actual reffing ability or experience that the NBA's hired to be in the association.
Is one of them Tony Brothers? Because that guy stinks.
Tony Brothers is not a good, NBA ref. There's a lot of bad NBA refs, though. And that's why, like, Mark Cuban for years spent so much energy in trying to exhaust out and to the public letting them know that this process was flawed. It stinks. And that's why some of these games are really tough. And so you have moments like this. You do. And I think it's why the 2-minute report is something that the NBA really wants to make sure they get out there. But all it does is highlight all the ways that they get it wrong.
What's funny about it is, though, we complain so much more about NFL officiating because the games are so much closer, so more often. Meaning, like, almost every NFL game is competitive. And because the NBA regular season, it just doesn't matter to the same degree, we've maybe once a week we'll get, like, a real challenging thing that happened in a game that might have impacted the outcome. But it doesn't really showcase itself until the playoffs. Like, that is another output of having just a crappy regular season for the NBA, that they almost get away with how bad the officiating is until the games matter the most. And then you have whatever reaction is this. I know has the last 2-minute report came out for the Knicks-Celtics game last night as well?
I haven't seen it yet.
Because I know that there was one or two questionable things late in that game. Like, here's the thing. I don't think the Cavs consistently get star calls across the 6 games they've played. It's also not why they rolled in Miami, and it's not why they've struggled here. And I think that's where we are. Like, I do have to remind myself every time I watch how just inconsistent, and I love that word for NBA officials, like, it should upset you. It should upset you that lane violations were obvious and not called, and that they reviewed them and then didn't get it
that's
right.
My problem is when you review it and you don't get it right. That's why I thought Atkinson with game one had the right call there, when the left hand just tried to shove him right down. Like, I got what he was going for there.
But if the Cavs think this is about officiating, then they've already lost the series.
Yeah, you just can't go down to that well. And again, even like you said, like, star calls right there. I mean, Donovan went to the free throw line 21 times in that game. Like, Donovan got the benefit of way more star calls than most people will ever get in that game. Like, he got them. The Cavs had a lot of opportunities at the charity stripe.
Andy, in a minivan, do you care about the 2-minute report?
No, I think it's stupid. I'm sitting here driving around my minivan, thinking about my dead dad. this isn't a horse racing, right? I mean, you don't need this inquiry. We're going to sit here and wait for the end of every game, make sure there isn't an inquiry. You know, it just feels like a kick in the shit, really. Like, oh, your team probably should have won, right? So here's a 2-minute report, and enjoy.
All right, now with that, Andy.
I don't see the point of it.
With that, if the NBA came out and said, well, those were two really costly mistakes, we're going to take away the Neesmith offensive rebound and putback, and we're going to award the Cavs a Game 2 victory, are you telling me you wouldn't take it?
No, I think that's silly.
I would take it so quickly.
I would take it, but I still, you know, you got to think of the other end of that, right? I mean, what if you're the Pacers, or, you know,
bleep them, I'm not.
So I think, Andy,
I'm Nick Wilson.
I think Nick started off with this being a joke, and now as we've talked more and more about it, it seems like he's serious, and I'm not sure.
You never know with me.
I never do. Well, I assume always a joke, and then we swerve into the serious.
To after the game to award a victory to something, like I said at the beginning, this isn't horse racing, right?
There's nothing worse, Andy, than cashing a bet. Feeling like you cashed a bet, the inquiry pops up, and you don't have that. Nothing worse.
You get it right the first time, I say. Andy, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Congratulations to your Chicago Pope, by the way. John.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you.
Hashtag DDG. It's pretty weird if you don't understand the hashtag Dead Dad Gang.
I'm just hearing at that.
That we
might be a little odd.
It is a bit. It's great. I'm just saying it is a bit.
The amount of congratulations I've gotten for the Chicago Pope is really funny to me, by the way. And I'm accepting all of them.
By the way,
I'm accepting all of them.
I think Chicago Pope might already be a show.
We got NBC,
Chicago Fire, Chicago
Men,
Hope,
Chicago, all of it.
Chicago Pope.
They're stealing your young Pope idea right beneath you. You just had to put Chicago in front of it.
I'm just happy.
Heard it and you're like, this is a sitcom. This is a sitcom somewhere. I just don't know
and
where.
It turns out it's a dramedy, right? Like, it's a sad one. It's a drama because he's a Chicago Pope. It's a tough town to be a Pope in. but also, there's a little bit of levity because he's a young Pope. You know what I mean?
Just a little bit.
Hashtag DDG. No, I don't think they should rescind, but I'd take it. If they rescinded the win for Indiana and just gave it back to you, anyone telling you in this town they wouldn't take that is lying their ass off.
It would feel weird, would it not?
No, it would not.
If you
not.
Waited 24 hours and then it's like, they reversed and then it's like a white smoke pops out and they reverse it and then all of a sudden we get the win, that's a little weird.
Nope.
You know what? I would be mad if we did 5 hours of analysis because the two-minute report dropped as we were just leaving our show yesterday. Uh-huh. If we did 5 hours of analysis to then have the game reversed.
Do 5 hours of different analysis.
No, that would be so bothersome.
I can pivot.
You know what it would be? It would turn into 5 hours after every game of like, well, I got to wait till the two-minute report. We might have this one. I got reasons to complain.
And that'll be the new sample size. It's a small sample size. What's the right sample size? More. Yeah. Okay, how much?
We got to let this play out.
Well, more than it is now. 216-474-0092. All right, so The 2 minute report is out from the NBA and Cavs Pacers. Two lane violations, including that directly led to points for Indiana. I want to know honestly. Just be honest. We're just friends. They trust you with the nest. If the NBA came out and reversed the decision and gave the Cavs win, you're not turning your nose up at the win, right? Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. If the NBA just reversed game two because of the two lane violations, you'd totally embrace the win, right? Let's go with Henry in Akron. If the NBA, based off the last two-minute report, took away the Pacers' Game 2 victory and gave it to the Cavs, you'd take it, right?
Of course I would take it, but I'm going to argue this fact. They could have simply boxed out. So I'm not going to put everything on the ref. They did not box out. Halliburton got his own rebound and then went to the three-point line and won the game. All right?
We agree.
Go Cavs.
Thank you, Henry. Jeff, would you take the win if the NBA gave it back to you for game two?
Heck no. Blaming it on the refs is the loser's lament. Come on, Cavs fan. You sound like Cryami fan in 2002.
It's like Miami.
The Buckeyes.
Cryami.
Yeah, Cryami. Cryami fan.
Yeah, but because they're
crying about the refs. Hey, you know what? If the Cavs would have been able to execute a play that a high school team can execute, that is, throw the ball in bounds, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
They're advanced for their age, Jeff. Thank you. By the way, I don't believe you. Mark in North Ridgeville, real quick. If the NBA said these lane violations led to points, we got to take those points away. Cavs dub in game two. You're taking it, right?
Sure. I got a quick question, though, guys. My point is this. You got three referees out there. The action is stopped on the court. How do three referees miss it not once, but twice? And the second one cost us the game. So I would take the win, yes.
Oh, look at that. That's 66%. All right? That'd get me to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Listen, I don't know.
But I'm a pretty good manager in baseball if I win 66% of my games.
How many lane violations have you seen called in the final 2 minutes of a game in general anyway?
Almost never.
Never.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Yeah. Because they don't care.
That is part of the problem within the two-minute report, right? Is the idea that they you can officiate a game, and by the way, they never call lane violations anyway, but you can officiate a game entirely different in the final 2 minutes than you do for the whole game leading up to it, and the two-minute report has no bearing on that whatsoever. It doesn't care.
Let's go ahead and get to quick hits.
Let's do
from that. The latest news and rumors around the sports world.
Go Angel, Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry.
It's quick hits.
All right. As we have mentioned, the Celtics join the Cavs in the down 0-2 hole club. We're still working on the branding there. But the Latvian Mamba, Kristaps Porzingis, put an interesting spin on it after the game 2 loss to New York.
In a way, it kind of takes all the pressure off of us, no? Like, now it's, I don't know, if you check the odds, maybe the Knicks are the favorites now to win. Who knows? We were expected to win. So for us to be in this hole right now, it's with our backs against the wall, we have nothing to lose. So we got to go out there and leave it all out on the floor. And again, I think it's a lot of basketball left to play, and let's see where this goes. A
lot of cliches there, but his assertion is the pressure is all on New York because the Celtics are down 0-2, and he believes no one expects him to win. Is that spin or reality?
It's a spin, and it's not even a good spin at that. Everyone knows the Celtics have the most pressure on themselves. You can't be defending champs and then get taken out in the second round by the Knicks. Doesn't work that way. Hey, can we figure out what's going on with Porzingis, by the way, with that illness?
He just has an illness.
Something fishy happening there, and I think we all know something fishy is happening, but we don't know what it is.
Is this more fishy than Darius Garland's great toe?
It's equal levels fishy.
But who's it fishy on?
So it's fishy that Porzingis missed like a whole stretch in March for this illness, and then he was back playing, and now he's, you know, kind of playing, but not really playing. He looks exhausted on the bench. It's just something's not right with him, and everyone knows it, but we don't really, no one's telling us what it is.
All right. We deserve to know injuries because of gambling. Do we deserve to know illness then?
I'm not sure we do. I just think it is, it's, I mean, that should be up to his discretion. I do think that, but yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe we do need to know what the illness is. Maybe I reverse course on that. Maybe we should know what his illness is.
Flip-flop.
Something weird is happening. Can you agree that it's weird?
No, it's definitely weird. Yeah, I just don't know what to make of it. I don't know how to, like it's not something that there's, like, a precedence of, like, to be outraged or to just dismiss completely. So it's kind of just like, there.
Does he have long COVID? Does he have the flu? Is there something else happening?
Mono.
I just don't mono.
I kiss the wrong person at a bar, especially in Latvia. Get a little mono. No offense to the Latvian contingent.
Never.
Locally.
All right, we'll stay with this. And this was Paul Pierce on Fox Sports 1 talking about what he would do and what would happen if the Celtics did lose Game 2. This was before Game 2 got underway.
If the Celtics lose Game 2 at home, I promise you, I'm walking here tomorrow. I'm walking here 15 miles in my robe, no shoes on. If the Celtics lose tonight, in a robe, barefoot, I guarantee this one. Put the house on this game. Put the house on it.
Put your house. Do not put your house on
it. Put the house on it. No shot we lose. You got a better chance at walking out of the studio and seeing a dinosaur.
So now I wanted to just hammer Paul Pierce and be like, what are you doing? He's actually walking right now to the Fox studios, though.
Oh, really?
Last week checked in, he had already accomplished 4.5 miles of this venture to walk in. He was in a robe, he had no shoes on, and he's paying off the bet.
There's a part of me that that thinks this is kind of hackery, this bit, promising something big, like if something were to happen, you're like, okay, if I lose this bet, I'm gonna like eat a piece of like something you wouldn't want to eat, like animal waste or something like that. That's just hacky to me. But that just came to mind. But like the other part of this, Paul Pierce is like your uncle that everybody feels bad for that talks. He's Uncle Rico. He's the NBA's Uncle Rico. He thinks he is what LeBron James actually is.
Could have thrown it over those mountains.
And it's almost painful to watch what kind of a directionless dude he is. I mean, that's the nicest I can put it. I just feel bad for Paul Pierce, and I this is the kind of thing that actually would humanize somebody normally. Not Paul Pierce. It's kind of a jag.
Oh, I could see in your eyes. I could tell that you got excited at the idea that he was actually out there in the robe, no shoes, walking all the way to work. Didn't do it for you.
Nah, just didn't do it for me. Virginia Tech is known for playing Enter Sandman by Metallica ahead of Tech games last night. Metallica played Lane Stadium. I I gotta tell you, I watched every damn video of this. There was a full 6-minute video where, like, you could hear one of the young kids in the crowd, because they were up in the cheaper seats, as it were, just screaming, holy bleep, because he just couldn't believe it was happening. Like, I gotta be honest, I have a dubious relationship with people that went to Tech. I have no allegiance to it, but, like, Meredith, we love Meredith. She went to Tech. Great person. Other people that I've worked with, because Charlotte is a lot of techies, techers. I don't know what you would call them. The point is, they have a lot of them. They're kind of not the best. Like, I didn't have the best relationship with them, and yet I was smiling from ear to ear, goosebumps across my arm that Metallica played Lane Stadium, that they got that moment. It was really cool.
Who had Enter Sandman first, Virginia Tech or Mariano Rivera?
I actually do think it was Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, I think, goes all the way back to...
Like, what, the debut of the song?
I don't know if it's that
when
early.
When did the song
it's
come
like,
out?
It's like, it came out like 90 or 91. And I think Virginia Tech adopted it in 94 or 95.
I do know that Mariano did not have, like, it was not his call. You know, like, most closer songs are like they come up with it and it's their decision,
like,
and all that.
Timmy Trumpet or whatever?
Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah, no, it was like the Yankees production team was the ones that's like, you need to have something to come out to. We chose this for you. Mariano did not care about music at all and was just kind of like, okay.
All right, do we have the research on this, Mac?
We do indeed. Mariano Rivera started doing the Enter Sandman in July of 1999, and Virginia Tech started it in 2000.
Oh!
Bit Stealers, Virginia Tech. How about that?
It's hateful. It's a really nice moment.
I'd feel better if they played on Mariano Rivera's patio than playing at Virginia Tech now. Analysis.
The most overrated closer in baseball history.
Whoa! What?
He's the Derek Jeter of closers.
What?
And he just played 20 years somewhere and get a bunch of saves. Yeah, great job, Mariano.
You want to go to Billy Wagner? You want to go to Trevor Hoffman?
We can have
the discussion, but Mariano's not overrated.
If he played in Cincinnati, Anaheim, and New York, wouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Bad take.
A closer got almost unanimous anointment? You know what I mean? He's the second highest voting percentage of baseball Hall of Famers? That's overrated. He's a closer. You get 71.
If you're not putting him in the hall, you're not putting any closer in the hall.
75.03 on the third time you're in the ballot. Nothing more for me.
Hey, you know what? Now you're getting another baseball story just because of that. just because of that right there, you get another baseball story. And you know what? It's going to be one I think you won't even like. That's what I'm doing. You know,
show me.
That's right. Baseball is launching a new stat called the True Home Run. Okay, what this is, and this is baseball. This is not ESPN and their Fugazi, hey, QBR matters. No, this is Major League Baseball. It's going to track balls that clear at least half of all Major League stadiums starting in 2026. Players are going to have a separate home run total based on league-wide ballpark eligibility tracked by StatCast. So when you go to MLB.com, it'll say the amount of home runs you actually hit, and then to the right of it, it's going to say the amount of home runs you would have hit had any of your balls been in at least half of Major League stadiums.
Now, how do you measure this? Is it from the tip of home plate to where it gets hit, or is it from, like, the front part of home plate? So they measure from the tip, or they measure from the front of home plate?
I don't know that answer.
For true home runs. I just want to make sure. Or is it where the guy stands?
No.
Is it relative to each guy?
It's how far they hit it. I don't know if it starts at the beginning or the front of the plate.
Okay. I don't need the extra quarter inch. I just want to know from my own, because I tabulate. By the way, I think you got played. I think that's a bit. I don't think it's a real thing.
You think I got played?
I really do. I think I saw a lot of people saying that was a parody account that tweeted that out.
Oh no.
This is
I'm
Paul
Sinner.
Really?
Because that was a hold on. That was a real. I think that was like Buster Olney. I got that from.
I think.
Now, did they get played? Because that might have happened.
I think it's
a Buster Olney or Buster Only.
It's true.
It was the Talking Baseball podcast. Okay. Maybe. It sounded so dumb. I thought that you would do this. I thought you'd get mad at
this.
It. No, I thought you'd get mad at it.
Personal, very quickly.
No, I thought you'd get mad at it.
Everyone knows you measure from the tip of the plate.
This was not
going to
come up. This only came up because of Mariano Rivera. I had this one only if I got mad at Nick at any of the things that he did. And I was like, the Rivera one sent me. This was not going to come up.
I just love that.
All sincerity. You let me break that down for like a minute before you told me.
Because I felt guilty because I'd already done several other things, including disparaging Apparently your childhood hero, Mariano Rivera.
Talking baseball. Yeah, I think that one might be a parody, Nick.
So you're saying
talking baseball might not be real.
Not a legitimate thing.
Oh, we got to get back to fact checking around here.
We got to. Yes, yeah. We do.
Oh, yeah, you've taken Robert's DMs as if Mason
that
Graham drives
a
minivan.
I'm a new and improved radio host since then.
Hey, Mason Graham, how about that minivan? That almost happened.
No,
based
never
off of a DM from Robert.
Never happened on air. That you unscrupulous. This is why you're not a priest. This is exactly why you never became a priest.
This is why?
This and like 20 other more valid reasons.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
You sound like Charlie Day.
The Nightman cometh?
Yes.
Dayman.
That was not bad. Wasn't good. It was not bad. Well, we are officially off the rails here, folks. The two-way street with Quinshon Judkins coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.